Okay, Lord willing, we're going to finish up Revelation. And I trust it's been a blessing to you. I believe that God has so touched me in a manner that I really couldn't express with words. And that's absolute truth in the study He's given me. Just the love of God that He's brought out in such a precious way to me through this time. As I told you when we started, I think that many times throughout the almost 20 years that the Lord had me in the young people's group over here, we probably would do the book of Revelations about every third year, you know, because that's when the kids would kind of funnel through. And it, again, just never ceases to amaze me. It just grows sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. What a wonderful love story. Well, we're in the 22nd chapter, and last week we left off at the 7th verse, and I'd like to pick it up there one more time, where it says, "Behold, I come quickly." And this is going to be emphasized, this coming, and the word come, throughout the remainder of these verses many, many times. And there is an urgency, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ, if you haven't heard, is coming. And it could be this evening. And it was so precious that these brothers and sisters alike were looking for that appearing at this time. You know, they lived for that appearing. I appreciate how Brother Hill used to tell us about Brother Copley, as he would say, "Duluth, do you think it could be today?" And we need to be living like that. We truly do. You're not living. I don't believe I'm living unless I'm living the expecting of Jesus Christ today, tonight. I go to bed, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, am I going to be in that city? Praise God. And just such a wonderful place to know that heaven, and again, I'm seated together with Him, but someday I will see Him face to face. And hopefully that is soon. But again, in that verse 7, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And again, last week we noticed that he had said this before, back in the first chapter. And I guess we'll turn back there briefly here in the third verse of the first chapter. And I just think it's very precious and very pertinent to bring out. In that first chapter and third verse, John says, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." He's coming. The time's at hand. And you'll notice that hearing and reading are now omitted, and the only thing that's left is he that keeps. He that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And again, that word keep is to have joy in, to treasure. It also speaks of inheritance. I believe that as you progress through this wonderful word, and especially through this book of prophecy, this book of Revelation, that as Christ continues to reveal His love, there's nothing left but to joy in your inheritance. And I'm so thankful that by His grace I can stand here tonight and say, I'm joying in my inheritance. And it's mine now. Praise God. It's just someday He will take the eternity to show it to me. All right, now going on in verse 8. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me," or the angel says this back to John, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." So wonderful. Let's go back to that 8th verse. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them." And then again he says, "And when I had heard and seen." And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, even though he was worshiping the wrong person at this time, and we'll talk about that here in a moment, you can't even begin to worship until you hear the truth and have a vision. And he says it twice. And there's sufficient witness in that. You need to hear the truth. I've heard so many times in this meeting, unfortunately, people that have come here for years and then they quit coming. And they say, "Well, I've heard that before." How far would that get with my wife? You know, you hear me tongue in cheek, that I'd probably be hearing from her attorney. You know, and that's about the truth of the matter. We need to treasure whom we love. And it's the truth. It's a fact. And this is that treasuring of the things of this book, of the prophecy of Christ Jesus and what He means to us and what He wants to be to us. And when I had heard and seen, and then that second word, seen, such a wonderful thing. Without a vision, what happens to the people? They perish. If you do not have a vision tonight, I would definitely pray for it. We need to have a vision. The vision is what keeps us going on. You've heard me, I love athletics, and I was reading about the great sprinters. And again, how their focus and their attention is so on the finish line. It's not on anything but that little teeny piece of tape which is down there. They're not looking to the left. They're not looking to the right. They're not looking at the other runners. The best of the best are looking at the tape, and they're running right through that tape. That's exactly what we have to have. We have to have that vision. We have to have that vision of finishing our course with joy. And God wants us to have that. And we cannot be deterred, brothers and sisters. We really can't. The Word of God tells us specifically to lay aside every weight. The sin that so easily besets us. That's our lack of faith. By the grace of God, I've mentioned this before, and by the grace of God, I believe I'll mention it until He take me home. This is the time of the greatest faith ever. It truly is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And to be able to take the things of this book, especially of Revelation, that truly pertain to the bride, the ones of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How much faith does that take? Praise the Lord. I've met many a Christian. Pearly gates are good enough for me. Huh? We just read last week that those pearly gates are, I don't mean to be facetious about it, but I think it kind of pertains to really what it is. Those are just the earrings on the bride. Huh? Those are the ornaments on that lady. You see how special and precious she is? All those things that we think about and imagine, you can't even imagine except through the Holy Spirit what God has prepared for you because you love Him by His grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But here again, He says, and I heard and seen. But here He goes, and I love this. I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. So again, many people get caught up into, oh, well, this is an angel. These are these angels that are showing them around. And today, again, look at what man is trying to do. And again, that's just the enemy man that's trying to do this, is how much it's talked about worshiping angels, about how angels watching over me. I know God could send angels to watch over me, but I know God Himself watches over me. I know I am in Christ's hand, and Christ's hand is in God's hand. And I'll tell you what, nobody's touching me. I'm the very apple of His eye. He might take the hedge down, and He might allow some things to happen to me like He did to Brother Job. But did He ever not have Job in His hand? Don't think for one moment He didn't have Job. Don't think for one moment that He doesn't have you. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. And they're agreed. And I'm telling you, they're completely agreed. And they're agreed that all men should be saved. And they're agreed that all men should come to a full knowledge of the truth. So if He cares that much, I'll tell you what, God will bring it. All we have to do is open our lives to receive it. So again, He fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And then this angel, as he thinks it's this angel in a sense, or I shouldn't say he thinks it's this, but as the word brings forth here, then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. So right there, when he says, I am of the brethren, the prophets, we know that this isn't an angel. Angels are not brothers. Angels do not have souls. Only mankind has a soul, and only mankind can be a brother with Jesus Christ. Okay? So again, this brings it all back to us again that this angel that's showing this one around, and as we read on here, this is so precious, we'll see that this is a very glorified saint. Because I want you to go back with me just for a moment where it says, for I am thy fellow servant. So he's basically saying, I am your fellow servant. And of your brethren, the prophets, that's again speaking to John. I'm of those brothers, those ones that have believed in Christ Jesus. But notice the word change here. And of them, it's not of you anymore, of them which keep the sayings of this book. Now, I have to tell you, I believe the Lord encouraged me in a great way that the reason this changes is because John does not have the place. John does not have the place. He is set over one of the 12 tribes. But he does not have the place of the bride of Christ. And I believe that that was one of the things the Lord was encouraging me of them which keep the sayings of this book. And that word keep again is as the same keepeth that was in the 7th verse, which says have joy in. How many people do you know that have joy in the book of Revelation? How many Christians do you know that are fearful of the book of Revelation? Yeah. I would guarantee you that the majority of Christians are fearful of this book, or they try to stay away from it. And I've even heard pastors tell me personally, Christian pastors, oh, we don't approach that book because we don't think this book is for this age. God will reveal it at a different time. What did He just tell us over and over in the Word of God? Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of this book. And to go into this book, and to study this book, and to read this book, and to hear this book, and to joy in the promises, really, is what this is saying. And the promises of my love that are truly in this book. And that's, I do believe that he's speaking very deeply to us here, where he says, of them which keep or joy in that treasure the sayings of this book. I think there's a great message in that, brothers and sisters. I think he's called us into treasuring and joining in the sayings of this book. And that's why I believe that he does kind of detach that sentence structure there from your to them. And then finally he says, worship God. Now there's something that's very interesting about that worship God, especially at this time. Remember, he was warning about all the antichrists that were coming in at this time. Again, all of the ones that were saying, where is your Jesus? Or the resurrection has already happened. All of these things were coming about. This book was written and finished somewhere around 95 to 100 A.D. All right? At 125 A.D., Rome declared that it was appropriate, proper, and necessary for people to pray to Mary in a short 25 years after the writing of this book. Within another 25 to 30 years, they were claiming that Peter was their first pope. Within that same time frame, they were setting up saints that you should pray to. How quickly we forget, huh? Bring it back to the children in the wilderness. Shoot, they just walked across the Red Sea. It was dry. Within 3 days, they were cursing God and say it was better for us to go back to Egypt because you brought us out here to kill us. Know how frail we are. Know how fragile we are. But this is why he says, worship God. Now, I want to take a moment again, too, and to ask you, okay, well, how do we worship God? In spirit and truth. Amen. Praise God. Let's go over to John 4:23. Let's read that wonderful scripture. See, you worship God, I worship God when I worship His Son. That's the only way that I can come unto God. And again, this wonderful book of Revelation is showing the oneness, that the equal and the complete harmony of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It says here in the 23rd verse, but the hour comes and now is, when the true worshipers, the sincere, the ones that the Holy Spirit is completely directing their lives, the real worshipers of God, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So again, so precious that we're going to read here in a moment again, and I want you just to continue this thought of the spirit and in truth. We understand who is the truth. I am the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And that spirit, by the grace of God, we see in John was so necessary because that truth became all truth, didn't it? It said, I must go so that the Comforter can come and lead you into all truth. That Holy Spirit's been with you, and He shall be in you. Praise God. And at the day of Pentecost, I'm telling you, He entered in a mighty way. And then a whole different level started up from there. Isn't that precious? How God brought it on. Glory to glory to glory. Praise His name. And then we see that that Spirit also there in John, it tells us that He takes the things of Christ and He makes them ours. So it is that complete harmony, that working together of Spirit and truth, again, is how we worship God. So praise be to God. This is, again, where he reminds us, worship God. And you can see how quickly everyone got off onto different things. And again, the subtleties. Because you can see, I appreciated visiting with one of the brothers here in the assembly. And I will mention this too. I think the next couple Wednesday nights, this thought of worship God, and at this time, and then from the 18th and 19th verses too, where it says not to take away anything from these words or add anything to these words, I believe the Lord is going to have us going on a sweet study here for a couple weeks, I don't know, maybe even 3 weeks, about really the Word of God, the origins of the Word of God, really what's happened to the Word of God, why we need to be in defense, I'm going to tell you, of the gospel and standing in defense of the gospel, and how subtle the enemy is, even with the Word, as he went and tried to challenge Jesus Christ with the Word, but he didn't use it correctly. He didn't use it rightfully. And that's what I'm saying, is that these are the things that we need to be about and understanding, truly, rightfully dividing the Word of God. All right, so we come back here again. So we see that he tells us to worship God. And then in the 10th verse it says, "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And again, I already made the statement, how many people I've met, and Christian people, that say, this book is not for this time. We shouldn't really study it. And I think, well, why did he give us all the other books? You know, why did he give us all the other wonderful Word of God? And again, that has not just been an isolated event. That has happened quite a few times in my life, where people pass over this book and say, it's not for now. But again, it's very clear. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. They were looking for the Lord to appear. We are to be looking for the Lord to appear. Remember, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. And that was just, again, saying that there's no time to God. And if you want to get picky about it, he hadn't even been gone 3 days. Okay? All right. Praise God. All right, 11th verse. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Now, we have just come out of a time period called the millennium. And that millennium, we saw at the very end of it, again, there was that devil that was unleashed. He came in for a season and he deceived the world. We saw that there were nations that were truly obedient to him, the lamb nations. And then there were the goat nations that just had a feigned obedience during that 1,000 years. And God came in, immediately Christ came in, bam, and it was done. He took it out. He divided it. He took all of that which was evil, anything of a lie, and he cast it into the lake of fire, didn't he now? Okay? So what this is really saying here is after the millennium, everything now, everything completely is set forever. You're going to live somehow forever. Okay? You're either going to have an everlasting death in a lake of fire if you don't know Christ as Savior, or you're going to have a wonderful everlasting life with Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to have. You're going to have an everlasting something. And this is what this is saying. There's no changing it thereafter. You can think again, and I don't mean to give you too much Bible history. Purgatory, believe it or not, came right in within that first 100 years after this book was written. I think that's adding too. And it's taken away a lot at the same time. I think you got both sides in that one. But it's fooled a lot of people. Your second chance is now, after chance, after chance, after chance. But after your lifetime, that's it. It's done. And the choices need to be made now. And especially the choice for salvation. But we're going to be talking here momentarily about rewards. And that's the choice that I want to have right now, is I want the highest and most full reward that Christ is offering. And that's some awesome stuff. I'm telling you, don't pass it up. "But he which is unjust is going to still be unjust. He which is filthy is going to stay filthy. He that is righteous, praise God, is going to stay righteous. He that's holy is going to be holy." The new creation, the new life that he has given us, praise God, is always and forever will be righteous and holy. I cannot be any more righteous than the moment that I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. It's the truth. I can't be any more holy because I became new creation. The only thing that the Word of God tells me at that moment then is to grow up in it, to become fully mature, to become developed in that righteousness. You see? God wants that co-heir, that joint heir, that will be an equal in a sense with His Son, I'm telling you, that will share in that inheritance. When He said half of the kingdom, He meant my half is yours and your half is mine. It's a complete joint heirship with Christ Jesus. Such a wonderful, wonderful thought and promise that He gives us in His Word. All right, the 12th verse. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And again, it's so precious here. The reward is always to God's righteous work in us. And if you just go back to Revelation 20:12, you look what He met them with. He met them with judgment because it was their works. He met them with complete and total judgment. So again, we are so thrilled to know that we have been redeemed. We are saved. We have already passed that judgment test. And now the expectation is all of reward. What are you going to receive from Him? And that's what's being built in our lives today. And it truly is. What is the reward that you're going to reap and garner at the time of His coming? Praise God. And He's going to give that to the work that will be completed in our life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's start reading from the 12th verse. This is about that reward. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, and that foundation obviously is on Jesus Christ, every man's work shall be made manifest. So someday, even if you're at odds with another Christian and they're thinking that, I'm telling you, the way to do the way to build reward in my life is by doing, and how many good deeds I can do, and how much of the law I'm keeping, and how much of a righteous guy I can be, and how much I can condemn my brother because they're such a bad guy, and I can strike my chest and say, see, I'm not doing that. Or I'm living by the narrow way, which that's the Lord is putting on my heart for Sunday, the way of grace. There's no reason to fight. It will be evident in this time, is what it's saying. The work is going to be rewarded, so you'll see. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, again because of the foundation that was built upon. If you build your foundation upon Christ, you are saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Again, how could you think? How could you think throughout so much of the Word of God that you could ever lose that salvation? A man came on the radio the other day and he was just so adamant that you could pluck yourself out of God's hand. I thought, what a shame. What a shame. You must not be reading the same Bible I read. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, let him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? Praise the Lord. And again, that's the temple of grace. We want to be present and abiding in the grace of God to build that reward in our life that will be forever and that will not burn. Praise His name. All right, going on to verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Again, this is Christ's complete authority. He's all in all from the very foundations of the universe. Again, as we spoke about Sunday, laying out the good works that I should walk in. He was there with the Son. With the Father. The Son was with Him. Praise God. 14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, let's look at this. It says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Well, we read about that last week. How do you have right to the tree of life? One requirement is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Connect the dot back to that one. How are we written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We believed on the Lord as our Savior. That's the commandment. It's the blood. You can't escape the blood. If I accept Him as my Savior, praise God, God has seen the blood and He will pass over me. I'm in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm safe. I'm kept. I'm in His keeping. And I am forever safe in Jesus Christ. So again, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. And we read about that, how the tree of life in the 22nd, in the second verse, it says will bear the fruit for the some and the leaves for the others, which is the healing of the nations. And again, those are the ones that believe in Christ as Savior, and they have that right. And they may enter in through the gates into the city, as we saw there in the 25th verse of the 21st chapter, that the gates aren't shut, and that the nations of them do walk in and out of that city, that's sitting below, in a sense, the heavenly city, Jerusalem. All right. Verse 15. But without are dogs, and this dog speak of the wicked, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You see, that's without the city. Those are going to be those that are not going to be accepted to eat of the tree of life. And again, those that make a lie, you see in the 27th verse of the 21st chapter, it said, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but only they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are the ones that are going to be cast into the lake of fire. It's going to be completely over. There's not going to be any more sin. It is done and completed. It's gone. Nothing. No abomination. 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, and this angel again, to testify unto you these things in the churches. Remember when we read about the churches, how each one of those angels is a messenger. It's just basically the ministers that come out and minister the Word of God. I hope that we are ministering the Word of God. I know we are by His grace. We're doing that this evening. We're talking about this prophecy. We're ministering. And I pray that by the grace of God, this ministering is to the Church of Philadelphia. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Praise His name. It's been a ministering to some of them that have gone beforehand, the Church of Smyrna. Isn't that precious to know? Do you see yourself within this prophecy? Do you see yourself within these seven churches? You're somewhere in here. And the crux of the matter is, again, have you left the first love? I appreciate that you're here on a Bible study. I'm appreciating that God has called me here today too. But the crux of Ephesus is He our first love? If He is, by the grace of God, we've just sprang forward into the riches of eternity. And if He's not, you can read through those other churches and God forbid where we're going to land. Yeah, you're saved by the grace of God. That's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you, you can spin awful far from the things of God. When you quit glorying God in your life and you quit giving Him thanks, as there in Romans 1. We read about it a couple weeks ago. You can't imagine how far you'll fall. They won't be able to tell you from the world. Like that one guy who got out of the service. I went through that service and no one could ever tell that I was a Christian. What a shame. What a shame. Just live the life of God by the grace of God. And you know what? Those things, those evil things and those evil ones, they'll flee from you. They don't want to be around light. They want to hole out in darkness. I'm going to tell you. Just follow the things of God. That light shine. And I'm going to tell you, when you shine the light, you ever been in a barn sometimes that's full of rats and mice? You start shining the light in there and they get out of there. They go hide. Let God's light shine in your life and get the rats out of it. All right. So it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And that bright and morning star, so precious, is specifically again to Israel there. And you'll see that in Revelation 21:24, where we talk about the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. That's that continuing promise that he has to Israel that will continue on. And then in verse 17 it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Now there is a lot in that verse, I'll tell you. There's a lot of wonderful stuff in this verse. But first of all, you'll see that the Spirit and the bride say, Come. You see, there's separation all over this verse. Again, don't be caught into the thought where everybody likes to collectively put all of God's people. Well, we're all going to be in the bride of Christ. It's not going to be that way. It's just not. From the very beginning, when God laid out man, there was Adam. And Adam represented that wonderful church. It's a perfect. It's complete. It's wonderful. But there was a bridal portion. There was a woman that was going to be taken out for him. And that represented the bride. And you can see that Adam, he fell asleep. He was not sober. He was not awake. He was sleeping. And out of that sleeping body came the bride. And it was just a small little rib portion. And she was the body within the body, representing from the very beginning and on, whether it was so many of the different signs and symbols and types throughout the Old Testament, all the way up into the book of Revelation. And I think of the Song of Solomon so preciously too. There were many virgins, but thou excellest them all. She had little sister, but the little sister wasn't ready, was she? But the Shulamite was fully developed. She was ready. She had made herself ready. She had become fully mature in the love. And you know what the love was? Was her appreciation for her groom. Sure, she was a little goofy for a while. I kind of read that in there. She's a little unsettled. She wasn't ready. But I'm telling you, by the end, she said, "Oh, I know his desires towards me, and I better be ready right now. Right now. He's dealing with us right now." And we need to say, brothers and sisters, "I will go. I'm going to leave this behind." And I'm so thankful there's so much testimony going on in the meeting of this working in brothers and sisters' lives. That jobs aren't so important after all, are they? That all this running around and all of these so-called friends and being the happening whatever it is, you know what? That ain't so important. That thinking that, you know, I'm the one that's going to take care of everybody. And I'm throwing the burden all on me. You see, you can get lost in that too. God takes care of people better than you do. I'm starting to find that out. He loves my kids more than I do. He can protect my family more than I could ever begin to protect them. He's after me. And the greatest thing that I can do for my family, for my friends, for my loved ones and all that, is run the race. Is run the race. And then you know what? Then it might encourage somebody else to run too. And when they have that peace that passes understanding, there is nothing greater that I could ever give them. Nothing greater. I appreciated a precious card that, and so many of the cards that I've received for Christmas and over the time, I can't even tell you what they mean to me. But again, just encouraging one another. Live your life giving God the glory. Don't try to bring it upon ourselves. We don't need to be famous. Christ Jesus made himself of no reputation. I want a reputation up there. I really do. I'm telling you truthfully. I want, by the grace of God, that love to be perfected in my life. I'm seeing a place that Christ is inviting me into. And it's right next to Him. And the only way I'm going to take that place is by partaking in the way that He took up the cross for my life too. It's the truth. It's not going to come any other way. And any other thing that I'm trying to be, any other thing that I'm trying to do in my life, brothers and sisters, it's not you, it's not me. Because the life that I am now is Him. I'm new creation. You're the incorruptible seed. And any life that you're going to live from now on is going to be by faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. And we'll connect it back again. The faith in Jesus Christ is the Word of God. This is what needs to live and breathe in me. I don't know why I fought it so long. Because I'm telling you, my life got awful beautiful when God really got a hold of my life. And He just said, come on, son, quit fighting it and let's just go live abundantly together. How's that? And it's a precious thing. All right. So the Spirit and the Bride in complete harmony, as we read there, in spirit and in truth. It's the Spirit and truth, the Spirit and the Bride. I hope it's coming together for you, because I'm going to tell you, we're getting into the peach tonight. And words are going to cease and you're going to have to bite into it, because that's the only way you're going to experience this stuff. Because this is getting out there. Praise His name. But the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Bride speaks and utters with the Holy Spirit. And it has this divine love for the very family of God. See, this is that calling out today. Come, come. If you don't have this kind of love in your life, you don't have the bridal love. I'm telling you, as an absolute testimony, is the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I love you. The more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I truly want to see you run your race as well too. I really do. I'm not running your race. You're not running mine. But I want to see you finish that race more than anything. And I mean that. Because that's the love of God that's shed abroad in my heart from the Holy Spirit. This wonderful Spirit that's here. Praise His name. And you'll notice here, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Everybody else, it said, and let them. There's a calling to do it. The Bride and the Spirit, they're already doing it. If you're a bridal saint, it's happening. It doesn't even need to be encouraged to come out of your life. It's just there. It's absolute, pure, unadulterated love. And you are calling, by the grace of God, those that are around you, just in your testimony. I'm not talking about words, in your walk. God is good. Don't miss it. This is the ultimate. I mean, you've got one short life. It's a vapor. At best, okay, they're saying now it's 77, 78 years. It's a vapor. I've got half of it down. And it was a blink. And I was running around in my swimsuit in the backyard. And that wasn't recently. So, I got to stay with this. But again, they're encouraging the others to come. Now, then there's the next one, the next separation. It says, and let him that heareth say, come. So you notice, we just got down to a hearing. There's no vision here. There's that separation. And then the next one is, let him that is athirst say, come. You can see that there's another level. First, there is this wonderful Bride. And then there's the ones that hear. And they're having to be encouraged to say, come. And then it's let him that's athirst. So you're not even hearing, you're just a little bit thirsty. There's another level. And then finally it gets down to, they're not even saying anything. They're just saying, and whoever will, let him. They're not even saying anything anymore. It's just come. Take. That's the wonderful word here. And that's all we do of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No matter at any level, we take the water of life freely, all by grace. This is the epitome of John 3:16. Just believe. The size, the grain of a mustard seed. Isn't that amazing? Do you see how easy He made it to get into heaven? Even beyond just being thirsty. Just a will. Whosoever will. This is our loving Savior. Over and over and over pleading, come unto me, come unto me. But what a place that we can have in knowing that great love to be part of that bridal company that's saying, come. Verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Now this is specifically speaking to the deceitful prophets at this time. It's specifically speaking to those that these are not Christians it's talking to here. It's talking to those that were trying to use this to their own gain, that were, again, anti the Gnostics at this time, all of the ones that were trying to deceive with their sleight of hand and sleight of word. But you'll notice it says, "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Now, I think of any other religion, pretty much, that are out there, every one of them has added something, haven't they? I mean, we have, let's come to it. You know, they'll try to say this is just for the book of Revelation. This is talking about the whole Word of God as well, too. What do you think the Book of Mormon is? What do you think that the canticles are that they wrote many years ago and all of the different laws and teachings in Catholicism at this time? Any other doctrine. It's there. They've added to it. And then it goes on this way. "And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, brothers and sisters, one of the things that I was mentioning earlier as far as I think where the Lord's taken me, maybe the couple next Wednesdays, is even talking about the different Bibles that are out there. And I'm just going to tell you straight up, you know, there are 60,000 words approximately that are missing from the King James, from any other of the versions that are taken from the King James Version. The NIV, the New International Version, the King James Version, the New King James Version, the English Standard Version, those are 60,000 words short of your King James Version. I don't want one word missing from this. I don't know about you. I don't want a word missing from this. And we're going to read how divine it is, and we're going to read how wondrous it is. Now, can these other Bibles, in a sense, that we that have, whether it's the NIV and all, I'm not saying that whoever is carrying around one of those is a devil or anything of that nature. Please don't go there. Don't. They can be a great assisting study Bible and different things of that nature. But I'm going to tell you, God said that He wouldn't forsake us. God said that He wanted to lead us into all truth, didn't He? Isn't that why the Spirit came, is to lead us into all truth? Well, if He's going to lead us into all truth, He's got to give us the manual, I'd think, and the Word, and to what to study from. And I know in Psalms it says it's complete, it's perfect, it's protected, it's given. And this is His Word. I do believe that. And I believe it's complete, and we'll study about that in the King James. And it really does come down to believing. It truly does. But these are warnings, brothers and sisters, that of the prophecy here that we've even read about. How many people try to water it down to say that, again, that all men are going to be in heaven at one time? How many times that we try to water it down that all men will have the same place in heaven? Do you see what I'm saying? That truly is, in a sense, that's where I want to make sure you understand this, where it says take away from. It's not talking about those people that maybe not believe in the full gospel of the Word of God. It's not talking about that at all. It's the ones that are rightfully and trying to intentionally deceive the wolf that comes out to try and to destroy, basically sent of the enemy. So we need to be about the things of God. We need to be encouraged again to stand in defense of this wonderful truth that He's put us in defense of. We start to get a little bit lackadaisical in the things of God. The Word told us very clearly, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it does. And when we don't have things that are completely connected correctly, you know, in life or whatever it is, you know, whether they're crossword puzzles or whatever, you know, you start getting one word wrong and the other ones don't match up, it ain't going to work. And it's the truth. You need the complete Word of God. His complete and perfect will. And it is line upon line. And it's all the Scripture that God gives us. That the Spirit in truth, the truth in grace, the Word of His grace. That's how we're built up. That's the inheritance. That's the love that's completed in our life. All of those things. All right, verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. This is the divine fulfillment. He's again encouraging us. It's at hand. It could be even this evening, brothers and sisters. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And he finishes up so sweetly, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so wonderful. That's the keeping power. That's it. It is the grace of God. It's the narrow way, Lord willing. If he tarries till Sunday, we'll talk about. It's what we talked about last week. By the grace of God. That's why we're here. By the grace of God, we got saved. By the grace of God, we're kept. By the grace of God, we grow. It's the exceeding riches of His grace that we're going to be introduced into someday that's going to go on forever. It's all about His grace. Completely undeserved, completely unmerited, completely given freely. Isn't that sweet? We began with Christ. We end with Christ. We began with God at the very beginning of Genesis. We understand that in John, that in the beginning, that Word was with Him as well too. But you can see how it is all finished and wrapped up, and it's all completely given in His Son. Praise His name. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You again for this time. We thank You that that Your tarrying has given us the opportunity to continue to study Your Word. That Your tarrying again is getting us even more prepared for that day. Lord, let us just trust in complete confidence and faith that, again, that You've allotted this time to us to be the bride that's going to be prepared to see You. Help us to desire that. Help us to want to be ready, Lord, more than anything. Put this desire in our heart. This sweet Christmas time, it's wonderful that we have family and all the different things. But Lord, let us not get distracted from looking for Your wondrous appearing. And as the Word said, even so, Lord, come. Oh, come, Jesus. We thank You for that wondrous call. Burn it into our lives. Let our hearts just bubble fervently with the love of God for it. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.